Now we're going to fade down with old Elton John. He's been in the papers too much lately. Now, I'm joined in the studio. We've got two guests in the studio right at this very minute. We have got Paul Golder, I was about to call him Eddie Curry, who's been to the latest weekly briefing from Brentwood Borough Council, and also joining us from eMove and Brentwood First is Councillor Russell Quirk. Hello.
Hello.
It's nice to see you in the studio. I was a bit surprised when I saw you at the window. I was like, oh, what's going on there? Can you hear yourself okay?
I hijacked you a bit, didn't I? Sorry. I was walking past and I thought, I'll go and see all my friends at Phoenix FM.
That shouldn't be going off. Sorry.
Was that Michelle, the presenter? Yeah, that was my... standing. No, her phone went off.
Yeah, it was my mum.
It wasn't mine.
There we go. Never mind. That was my phone. There we go. Right, so Paul, you've been down to the council. And what has been talked about today?
I have. There were a number of... things that came up in the conversation, some of which are council business and some of which are non-council business. It's more from the actual point of view of the ruling accord, and we'll talk about that at the end. Firstly, we have Merrymeads Park in the town, and the park and the access areas are leased by Brentwood Council from Essex Council. So Essex own the land, lease it to Brentwood, and Brentwood give it to the community as part of its we're doing good things for the community, which every local authority does. Now, Barry Aspinall, the leader of Brentwood Council, was very concerned to see that advertised in Brentwood's Weekly News and maybe other papers last week was an advert from Essex County Council advertising the sale of the access points to Merrymead Park from Shenfield Road and Sawyers Hall Lane. And he was notified by a local concerned resident who reads all the notices all the time, which is very good of him. And he's very concerned because Brentwood Borough Council own that, or they lease that land.
Yeah.
So it's like somebody selling the house that you're renting out in, even though you've got an agreement to stay there for another, could be another 99 years.
Yeah.
And they're a bit worried. And as I said, Essex County Council didn't tell Brentwood Borough Council. Now, the resident is concerned that he's seen people walking around surveying the land, and the reason for the sale of land, who would buy the land, what would you do with the land? You'd build on it, you'd build houses on it, and yep, part of the Green Belt. He's very concerned that Essex County Council is selling land that there's a legal agreement for them to give to Brentwood Borough Council so Brentwood can give it to the people of the borough, and they're going to build houses on it. Obviously quite upset about that. So Brentwood have raised a official objection, like a stop notice, to Essex County Council, and they're trying to get to the bottom of it and find out what's going on. Now, he's made a point of saying that the portfolio holder at Essex County Council is also a member of Brentwood Borough Council, Roger Hurst, and he's hoping that Roger will do what he calls the right thing and look after the residents of Brentwood and make sure that the sale doesn't go through. So he just wanted to bring to attention that this has been noticed, nothing to do with Brentwood Borough Council, and they're trying to stop it.
But there's a thing with Essex at the moment, isn't there? They've got to build so many houses in Essex, isn't there? The quota we've got to meet in Essex.
It's the local authorities that have been told by central government. Is that correct, Russell?
Yeah, there's no longer any targets as such, which there used to be, but it's obviously more houses are needed across the country. So Brentwood has what's indicated as a sort of an aspiration, if you like, which is to provide another 6,000 houses or thereabouts between now and 2030. So yeah, there is a need, but you know, it has to be appropriate. You know, that doesn't mean you just stick them in, you know, West Horndon, for instance, on the Greenbelt, or indeed on these access ways, which seems a bit bonkers, doesn't it? Because access ways are needed for, well, access.
Well, absolutely right. And we talked in previous weeks that the council is looking for areas that they could build on that are in the Green Belt, but it's not going to affect the Green Belt, and that the residents are happy for them to be built on, such as former scrapyards, that kind of thing. So it's something that we've talked about that they're trying to do, and certainly you know, building to the access point of a public playing field doesn't really sound like a very good idea.
No,
in my view.
and mine, if I might say.
Okay, so they're trying to get to the bottom of it. Okay. Now, second point that Barry brought up on behalf of the council. There is a audit and scrutiny committee meeting, which is taking place on the 30th of September. And the purpose of the meeting is to sign off the accounts, which need to be signed off by law after a certain amount of time. And it is actually 30th of September. The accounts for the previous year need to be signed off. Now, Barry has said that he has received an official request from the leader of the opposition, Councillor Louise McKinley, to move the date of the meeting. And this has actually been debated, and they have decided not to move the date of the meeting. They don't want to have it any sooner than the 30th of September because they're worried that the auditors might not have the accounts ready. And Graham Clark, who was at the meeting, Councillor Clark, said that this happened last year and it was a bit embarrassing because they had the meeting and they couldn't sign off the accounts. And obviously they don't want to be late. Now, Graham says neither of these situations are acceptable, so they've got to have the meeting on the 30th of September. And Councillor Quirk sitting next to me knows all about why they've requested this change of date and would like to talk about it.
Yeah, this is a bit of an odd one, actually. I've never known of such a fuss to be made over something so silly, quite honestly. So every May and June, when there's annual council, so after the elections, the timetable for council meeting calendars is set out, debated and agreed. So we did that this June, and actually with no debate at all. The thing came out on the agenda and it was, these were the meetings for planning committee, housing committee and so on. And it was signed off with literally no fuss at all. So it's a bit of a surprise, I think, from Barry's point of view as the leader of the council to get this request from Louise McKinley just last week saying, look, we want to move this very important scrutiny meeting, which is unusual in itself for the request in terms of it being moved. But especially as Paul's pointed out, so from the statutory point of view, it can't be moved. It can't be moved forward, it can't be moved back. So it has to be as it has already been agreed and rubber stamped.
Yeah.
The reason, as it seems, that Louise McKinley and her friends in the Conservative Party locally want it moved is so that they can go to Conservative Party conference.
Right.
Which seems to me rather putting politics and partying, because that's what a conference is generally, party political conferences, before their obligations to go and sit in a meeting scrutinising the accounts and standing up and holding the administration to account and you know, generally acting as councillors. So it does seem very, very odd, really, that I think one of the quotes I gave one of the newspapers yesterday was that, you know, Conservative councillors want to go off partying with Boris instead of meeting their obligations to stand up and be accountable on behalf of their residents in the council chamber. What's astonishing is that the Conservatives have actually put out a press release saying how unfair it is that Barry won't change the meeting. Well, A, it's been agreed. B, as Paul set out, it can't be changed for statutory, for legal reasons, unless, of course, we want to go back to the Conservative days of not signing off our accounts every year, which is probably not a particularly favourable position. So, but effectively, yes, just to go and get drunk with Boris seems to be coming first for some people in the borough, which I think is pretty appalling.
Now, Barry's made the point to us this morning that he's told Louise McKinley that she holds a paid post as leader of the opposition. He says it's a very important role. The administration can't function without the opposition and vice versa. The opposition is there to scrutinise the council. It's her job to, you know, hold the council to account, the officers and the members in charge as well. And this is what these committees suffer. It's audit and scrutiny committee. So he's saying that, you know, she should be, well, just to repeat what Russell said, should be put in the borough business first over and above the party business.
And just to let you all know, if you're listening out there, we are not biased here whatsoever. We have invited Louise McKinley has been invited to come in. You're welcome to come anytime, Louise, on my show, anybody else's, if you want to come back and have a right reply as well. And that goes to the other parties, just so we're balanced.
I do say this every week. Yeah. I invite Louise all the time to come in. She hasn't been in for a while. She has said that she will come in and talk, which is great.
Yeah.
But the setting of the date is taking a very long time. So we're not here to...
It's pretty easy, you know. I walked past and waved and you let me in. It was really easy.
Yeah. Now, on a completely non-partisan, non-political point of view, we are actually here for people to do exactly what Russell did.
Yeah.
I'm glad that Russell got it. He came in and said, can I talk on air? And we're not particularly... I mean, you know, the less air time Michelle gets, the better.
Thank you. Lovely.
You did turn your nose up a little bit, but then you gave in.
I'm actually a lot easier than that. Just kind of a worrying admission.
I'm only kidding.
Okay, so that's the situation with the Audit and Scrutiny Committee.
And it's the 30th of September, I think, is the committee
That's right,
date, which, as you've said, is not going to be moved, nor should it.
No. Okay, and one other council point. Phil Baker was there, and he's in charge of the planning remit, talked about a specific application to build on Greenbelt land at Heathland in School Road in Kelvedon Hatch. It had previously been rejected by officers. It had been referred back to the planning committee by the local councillor, Councillor Parker, and also by Kelvedon Hatch Parish Council, because they were arguing that it wasn't part of the Greenbelt and they would be able to get planning for it. And to cut a long story short, the Brentwood Council have said that it is part of the Greenbelt. They've proved it and they've rejected it. So Barry Aspinall wanted to make the point that he is he says we may have to build on the green belt in Brentwood, but he is protecting it when he can.
Yeah.
He's not just going to build on it. He wants to build on it with everybody's consent. So, which is something we talked about. So he just wanted to make the point that it had been referred back, and Brentwood Borough Council have upheld the original decision, which he feels is good news for the people in School Road.
Okay.
Now, at that point, the press officer, Leona, was summarily dismissed.
From not permanently.
From the room. She made a point of saying that I said that. And right. Now, a couple of weeks ago, now I can't get that out of my head.
Yeah, let's not get rid of her. She's really good, so let's keep her.
Yeah, she went off to do other council work.
Right.
And then Barry spoke to myself and Piers from the Brentwood Gazette on the subject, on the position of him being the leader of the accord. And the subject was Hutton Community Centre, which, again, we'll bring Russell into because he was involved in this as well. Now, trying to get my head around the slightly complex situation, so I'm going to say what I think it is, and Russell, please correct me if I'm wrong. There was previously a Hutton Community Centre Association, a trust that was running the centre independently on the behalf and for the benefit of the residents of Hutton, the people who use it.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
At some point before the May election, when the administration changed, Brentwood Borough Council took control back of the building from HCCA, the association, and then they refurbished it. They pumped about £250,000 of ratepayers' money into it, and as we've discussed before on my council briefing quarter hours that I have every Friday, it's currently subject to inquiry by the council. The Audit and Scrutiny Committee are looking at the actions that led up to the refurbishment, and Brentwood Council are also looking at the structural competence and the safety of the building. Now, we had a incident. There's a couple of things. There was an incident a couple of weeks ago that Russell, you visited the centre with Barry and also with a member of the public, and it was found in the visit that an electrical cable that irks the building was seen to be loose. Is that correct?
Yeah, I must admit, I didn't realise it was the case until a day or so ago. So, yeah, Barry and I met some people down there just to show them around, just to see if there was some future interest on their part in terms of using the hall, obviously as part of the community use that it's there for. And while I was outside, Barry was inside, and one of the members of the public that was there, who's a building contractor, noticed that the earth wire was not connected, which is a really scary situation, because this is a community building, obviously lots of people in and out. If the electrics in that building are not earth, and I don't profess to be an expert by any stretch, it's clearly not a desirable situation, particularly as the roof is still leaking. So despite that £200,000, the previous administration didn't account for replacing the roof. So therefore, you've got this wonderful mix of, and wonderful big inverted commas, I'm being sarcastic, this wonderful mix of water, electrics and public. So the earth was then secured. It's all now since been inspected. Barry and I had 2 hours worth of crisis meetings with our building surveyor, our legal officer, the acting chief executive, and all sorts, to make sure that yesterday we, as a council, as a responsible authority, could absolutely categorically state that that building is safe.
Yeah.
We have now had sign off from both an electrical contractor and by way of a gas safety certificate, as well as a health and safety report that Barry Aspinall insisted was done several weeks ago. So we now could be confident that the building's safe. But I've got to say, the condition and the situation that that building's been left in for us as an incoming administration is, as you can see, far from ideal.
Mm. Now, as a result of this and all the other things that we talked about, I understand, I think I got this right, that Barry asked Councillor Baker to visit last night, and there was a meeting taking place last night, which you were at the meeting.
Yeah, so there was a meeting of the proposed. So actually, following on from what you said in your intro, Paul, so there's the Hutton Community Centre and the Hutton Community Association are effectively were a constituted charity that ran the Hutton Community Centre. That now is defunct. The lease has come back to the council. The decision was made, which actually I support, in terms of obviously reopening the centre and allowing it then to be used by the community and also to be effectively run by the community. So there's now a group of very able local residents and council members, officers and so on, met last night to talk about a constitution in terms of being able to set up a new entity to run the Hutton Community Centre going forward. So I was invited to that meeting, I guess, as the ward member for that area, along with Louise McKinley, number of residents, officers and so on. And Councillor Phil Baker had opted to come along because he's a councillor, part of the administration. And this, don't forget, it's a council building. We own it. And at the moment, we're running it. We employ the staff in there. We're paying the bills. We're paying the business rates because, of course, unfortunately, the question of business rates being mitigated by way of it being a charitable status has been overlooked by the previous administration. So we're now on the hook. The taxpayer is for £7,000 of the business rates. So Phil sort of came along now, bearing in mind he's also chairman of planning, so he's a senior guy in the administration, came along to sort of observe, help and so on. And just as I got there, they'd marched him out of the building, which was pretty disgusting, really. I wasn't there to hear exactly what reasons were given. What was very odd was that obviously, it was invite only, I suppose, is the reason that they gave for that. But, you know, we had, for instance, Councillor Chris Hossack was sitting there, who's not a ward member, not a part of the administration, seemed to be okay that he was there. But so they, I think, to pick and choose, particularly when it's a senior member of the council administration as to who can sit there and observe or participate in a meeting about a council building, it doesn't fit. Doesn't sit very well, really. So I think Phil Baker's going to have a bit more to say about that. Was he still red and steam coming out of his ears today when you saw him?
I think to be fair, he may well have been, but I think Barry was very upset because he feels that the whole thing has now been turned into a political football. He accepted that you were there, but he also said that many opposition councillors were there as well. Mm. And the person who actually asked him to leave was Peter Boehm, who I don't really know. He's chairman of Hutton Football Club.
Yeah, he's been nominated as the chair of the future trustees. I've got to say, he chaired the meeting very, very well last night. He's a very good guy. I think, you know, maybe he'd been put up to that. I don't know what the conversation was, but I'm all for public meetings, you see. So whenever I've held meetings about saving the town hall and the town hall delivery project, the project I'm tasked with now on William Hunter Way, I just make them public. So come along, you know, we shouldn't have anything to hide. And whether you're a trust that's constituted to run a public building or a public building itself or whatever, I don't see why there should be anything to hide, particularly from high-level councillors. So it does seem a bit odd, really. So I think the Accord administration has got every right to be a little bit miffed by that. But yes, it doesn't bode well for the future, I guess, in terms of, bearing in mind, and I'm now going to be one of them, the trustees of the Hutton Community Centre Association, or whatever it ends up being called. In fact, last night they were talking about it being called the Hutton Centre, which is great. They've got to come to the council to agree a lease. What's Phil Baker going to say if he's sitting on the committee?
And ask for funding and so on. This was the point that was being made.
Exactly. Yes. So to upset Phil Baker, Barry Aspinall and Graham Clark, who are three of the most senior people at the council, by excluding one of them from a meeting when you're about to come and ask for a lease to be agreed, probably not the wisest thing to have done.
Yeah. Now, and again, a point that was raised at the discussion that we just had in the council was that there is no obligation, as far as I understand, for Brentwood Council to give the lease back to a group. Or if there is if something they want to do, they don't have to give it back to this group. If another group of people who come along and say, well, actually, we want to represent the people, they could give it to that group instead.
They could, and that very point came up last night. You know, I think the proposed Hutton Centre entity, as it's about to be formed or would eventually be formed, I was asked directly, actually, by one of the people in the meeting last night, you know, do you have a problem with the people around this table running the centre? And I said, absolutely not. You know, if you can prove that you're capable of doing it and running it successfully so that the taxpayer isn't disadvantaged and vulnerable and that the community, very importantly, are benefited in terms of the door always being open and it not being to the exclusion of the public because it's just the Hutton Football Club or it's just, you know, one entity or other, then I fully support it. But yes, it's a good point. Of course, if somebody else came along, and indeed we have had some conversations with another charity that is very keen on looking at using, you know, the building in one form or another, as a council that holds the purse strings, of course we have to be open-minded, we have to listen. So, you know, if you guys came along and said, look, you know, we quite fancy this as the Phoenix FM Centre, here's an idea, Paul.
Actually, I do, but I kind of feel that it's not going to happen. Yeah.
Well, maybe we can have aspirations coming. But if you came along and said, look, actually, I've heard that this place is, you know, is up for grabs in terms of there being no formal agreement in place, which at this point in time is the case. If I just turned straight round to you now, Paul, and said, no, sorry, I can't have that conversation with you. No, I'm not interested. You'd say, well, hang on, that's not very open-minded. That's actually not very sensible from the point of view of councillors that should be open-minded and looking at all options for the benefit of the taxpayer and the local community. So, yeah, I mean, there's no agreement in place on the Hutton Community Centre yet. The proposed Hutton Centre charitable entity, you know, is in the running for it, and I can see no reason why they shouldn't run it, quite honestly, although they need to sort of, you know, move on a little bit in terms of the formality of creating the constitution, all the rest of it that they'll exist around. But if other people want to come along and talk to us, well, then, of course, we have to listen. We'd have to have that dialogue.
And I feel as a community group that's looking to be part of the community, you've also got to engage with every other part of the community, and that includes the council. I think it's a... You know, it's something inescapable. It's something you got. That's why you're here, Russell.
It is, and also again, the point I made last night. You know, when it comes to talking about you guys, Hutton Football Club, or whoever, it's always democratic. So it's not one. We don't run a cabinet system. Mm. So it's not the leader or the, you know, cabinet member for assets. Very different to Essex County Council, fun enough. So where you opened up with this accessway issue, Roger Hurst, who's the Brentwood councillor and Essex County councillor, can actually do what he wants. So he, as one guy, can make a decision. Right, let's sell that accessway. There's a scrutiny process where that can then be opened up to just scrutiny sort of after the decision's been made almost. But at Brentwood, we run a committee system, which means that if I want to do something, if you put a proposal to us or whatever, it goes to committee. It's an agenda item. It's open. It's transparent. It's talked about amongst councillors. We debate it fully, and then we vote on it. And the result of that vote is then what stands. So whichever entity goes into the Hutton Community Centre and opens it for the benefit of the community, ultimately, it's not my decision, it's not Barry's, it's not Phil's, it's the entire council and the people that are on that committee.
So we're moving then, that's good news.
Well, it would be very... It would be very rude to our host if I really said that we were moving. But I am an ambitious person. Yeah. I want to have... I've already got plans for having a... you know, slightly better reorganisation of our own assets. It would be nice to have. It would be nice to have another studio for bands to play in. It would be nice to have a little concert venue and a bar and a little, you know, entertainment hub in the town and that kind of thing. Recording facilities as well, recording studios and that kind of thing. You know, Brentwood needs to look after its art, music, and culture. Definitely.
Hear, hear.
Excellent. Something to look forward to. I'll start unplugging the equipment now.
I don't think the plans are very advanced, but as Russell said, I've got aspirations.
Yeah, and the electrics are okay there now.
Well, yeah, no, you can plug everything in now. It's okay. Yeah, there's not going to be any problems. But I think we might have just created next week's Gazette headline, though. So I don't know if Alan Woods or Piers Maynard are listening. I know what Piers is like. He sort of gets the sniff of something in the high street that he overhears, and it becomes the headline.
Oh, there we go. I do hope so. I hope they brought a picture of the three of us as well.
I'm not getting involved with that last comment.
Is that covering everything today?
It is, yes. Thank you very much. There'll be more from me and anyone else who wants to come in from the council or the you know, from the court or the administration next week.
Okay, so that, thanks very much to Paul. Thanks very much to Russell Quirk. As you know, that was the weekly briefing that Paul went to at the Brentwood Borough Council. Again, he'll be here next week. If you are one of the political parties who'd like to come in and talk about any of the issues and be on the show like Russell has today, come and wave at the window. You're more than welcome to come in, and that goes for Louise as well. And, you know, I know we've asked her to come in a few times. If you'd like to have a right of reply, you're more than welcome. Right, 11:35, we think we'll have a little bit of ads. A little bit of ads, does that make sense?